The league is retiring Bill Russell's number, but I think they can go a step further to truly honor his legacy. Plus, the Kevin Durant rumors don't go away. They continue to involve the Boston Celtics. And the first offer that they made for the Celtics, laughable. But can the Celtics ever maybe get away with not even trading Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant? Lots to talk about right now with Tom Westerholm on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your regular routine. Here for you now 3 days a week during the dead off-season August, September time, which 3 days a week is more time than most podcasts are going to be podcasting all month. So you know Locked On Celtics is going to be here for you with Celtics content, whatever it is out there. We're going to be talking about it with a fresh, free podcast 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Once the season kicks back in, it'll be a regular Monday through Friday daily podcast back to normal. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I'm heading into my 16th season covering this team. So I know this team pretty well. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can pick up anywhere. It's still relevant. So check it out. Today, later on, we'll get into the continued, updated, rotating, you know, evolving Kevin Durant rumors, which the initial ask from the Nets was just hilarious. But let's start by bringing in Tom Westerholm of BDCBoston.com. What is up, my man, Tom?
Hey. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Always doing great, man. We get to sit here and talk basketball with you. It's always a good time. So let's start with the news of the day, which is Bill Russell's number officially going to be retired by the league. We talked about this a little bit last week. Fantastic honor. But my take remains the same. Like, I just kind of wish that he was around to see this. And this honor was going to be, you know, was there for him 2 weeks ago, was there for him 2 months ago. And maybe I'm nitpicking. Maybe I'm harping on something that's just, we should just say, hey, it's a great honor. Let's leave it at that. But personally, I just wish he could have seen it. That's all. The guy's earned a lot. And if you're going to do something like this, my take is I just wish he could have seen it. But an amazing honor. I mean, you've got the Hall of Fame, which 400 something people are in, and this, which is one person, one player, whose number has been retired across the league. You can't get a bigger honor than that to me.
I mean, you can't, right? Because, like, look at baseball. The only, you know, one is Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. I don't know about football and hockey. I probably should, but I don't. But, like, you know, I have no idea if they have league-wide ones retired. But, like, that's the level that you are. You know, if you're Bill Russell, like, you're Jackie Robinson. And, I mean, I think it's really appropriate, like, when you talk about who Russell was, all the winning that he did. I mean, obviously, like, you know, you and I are sitting here on a Celtics pod where we talk about the Celtics, we write about the Celtics, we think about them constantly. I mean, you're sitting in the TD Garden, locked on Celtics all over.
Normal spot in the corner here.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I got to put up all those Locked On Celtics banners around me. And it's I laid out the expense, but it's worth it to me.
Clearly. So, I mean, of course, we're going to be like, you know, like Russell, you know, everything. But I think that this does speak to, like, what the league feels, you know, the way the league feels about the first, you know, black head coach, the guy, you know, 11 championships in 13 years, all that stuff, you know, Everything that Russell meant to the Celtics, to the league, to this foundational part of the league. And, you know, obviously, like, his activism and his, you know, his push for equality and for racial justice and everything else that he did. I mean, just, you know, we talked about it before. One of the most impressive, you know, human beings, not just athletes, but human beings. And I think to me, you know, when we talked the first time, I think my big take was like let's enjoy like this, let's enjoy remembering Bill Russell. Let's enjoy let's kind of celebrate his life, celebrate his legacy, because it is a life and a legacy that should be celebrated. And I agree with your take that, like, if you're going to do this, I mean, do it while he's alive, do it while he can see it. But, you know, I think to me, it was more like Russell's legacy kind of speaks for itself. And, you know, I'm happy the end, but I am happy that the NBA did it. I think it's obviously well-deserved. Like you said, if you're going to do it while he's alive. Like, I don't know why we always have to, why it always has to be this posthumous, you know, giving a guy his flowers then, but, the good news is that Russell did get a lot of very well-deserved flowers during his life. So there's that, I guess.
Yes, yes, yes. And I don't want to be ungrateful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do want to recognize it as the tremendous honor that it is. But look, I just hold Bill Russell in such high regard that I just don't think anything is enough. And I do believe, like, I do believe that he, you know, something like this, we do save things for people posthumously. And there's a fine line, right? There's a fine line between honoring somebody in this way and doing what I do is, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, I want them to see it versus, you know, guys like Bill Russell kind of like having people read him his obituary. You don't want to cross into that. Like,
yeah,
you know, be like, here's your reminder that you're old and on your way out. Like, you don't want that to be the thing either. So I understand there's a fine line. But I do think that this, while this is a tremendous honor, I do think they can take it even a step further. And I've been kicking around this idea. I tweeted it out. I wrote about it on Boston Sports Journal. I think on opening night, I started with the idea that the Celtics should, on opening night, be allowed to wear jerseys where, like, the front is number 6 and, like, the back is their number. So, like, the front is 6 on Jaylen Brown's jersey and the back is 7. So you can have the normal numbers where, you know, refs can call out the numbers. But I'm thinking that, hey, if you're going to retire his number league-wide, why not honor Bill Russell's legacy by just having every team on opening night wear the number 6, just like I said, and then every player autographs the jersey, maybe the whole team autographs each jersey, auction them off, and in each city, the proceeds go to mentorship programs in that city. Why doesn't the NBA do something big and grand like that? And this is what Bill Russell was about. He was about helping the future, helping the kids, you know, equality and helping kind of level the playing field. So let's take it a step further. Opening night, everybody wears the number 6 on the front of their jersey, auction them all off. Millions of dollars will be raised. What a great opportunity for the NBA to look great. What an opportunity to honor Bill Russell's true legacy and help kids in all of these NBA cities in honor of Bill Russell. That would be the greatest honor, I think. More so than no one else can wear your number because you were so awesome and we love you. Let's change some lives and do it that way. I think that would be an amazing gesture by the league on opening night. And then after that, nobody wears number 6 anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool. I don't think I wouldn't rule something along those lines out, right? Like the league, you know, I mean, the initial rollout, right, was very well received. Like, yeah, Russell, this is awesome. Like, and the Celtics are going to have a rollout of some kind. They said in the press release that the Celtics are going to announce something, you know, something that goes further for themselves. So there will be more on the horizon. I'll be curious to see what that looks like. And like you said, I mean, you know, there's going to be the commemorative patches. There's going to, like, they're already doing a lot of stuff that is, you know, that's really good. And I would not be surprised to see some of that stuff get expanded, especially, I mean, you know, like everybody agrees that, like, at least, I don't know, everybody on my Twitter timeline. So my echo chamber agrees, but it did kind of stretch. It did stretch across the league, right? It wasn't just like Celtics fans. It was like, you know, people who write about other teams, people who are fans of other teams thought that this was good too. So like, I wouldn't be, I mean, look, this is, like you kind of hinted at, I mean, this is good for the NBA. Like, this is, I mean, this is good business for the NBA. It's good for them to honor him. It's good for them to honor him, to, I don't know, just kind of make a big deal about him right now and kind of really put the spotlight on him. Like, that's good for them from a doing the right thing perspective, but also from a perspective of, you know, kind of, I guess, a positive PR, whatever you want to call it. I never trust the league to be doing anything besides positive PR anyway. Like, I hope they're just doing this to honor him, but I mean, I'm sure some of it is that. But regardless, I mean, I'm with you. I think that'd be really cool. I think it would be great to see this remembrance of Bill Russell get extended, because he deserves that in whatever, for whatever reason, you know, even if it is for positive PR, sign me up, right? Like,
yeah, well,
if you're doing good things, I don't really care what the reason is. So yeah, like, let's do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It would also be great PR if LeBron gave up his number 6.
That would be pretty cool. I'm actually curious to see how that goes, because like, LeBron is very image conscious, and I'm sure he knows that would be a good look if he did that.
If he doesn't,
he's not going to get like pilloried or anything like that. It's okay. Right. Like,
he'll get questions about it. But it still would be cool. like Celtics fans would be like, all right, got to give you respect for that. You know,
they would.
And not that he gives a crap about Celtics fans, but would be nice. All right, we'll come back. We'll start into the Kevin Durant rumors, which only because, and people go, oh God, this again, only because I want to highlight the absurdity of this, and just, that's it. I just want to highlight the absurdity of these rumors, because I've been crapping all over these rumors from day one, that it's been planted. It's been nothing that the Celtics fans should be worried about. But hey, it's still something that people are worried about, which is exactly what Sean Marks wants. The Celtics are on betonline.net, the number one destination, the betting favorite for Kevin Durant if he leaves Brooklyn. So we'll see how that goes. We know that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, which is starting to ramp up again, NHL, combat sports, esports, golf. It's all there at BetOnline, which continues to be the top online resource for your sports wagering information, live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts to have you covered. Head to BetOnline today. Use your mobile device. Learn about the action happening today. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making your second listen, Locked On NBA? I host Locked On NBA on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. This past Wednesday, we did a Would You Rather after the ultimatum from Kevin Durant, the pick me or pick Sean Marks and Steve Nash. You pick those guys or pick me. That's your choice. So we played a Would You Rather game for the whole podcast based on that and a bunch of other things. So check that out wherever you get your podcast. I have been very clear, Tom. I would rather not have KD, all things considered. The last podcast was basically a big, long rant from me saying, like, more, not only am I still a no, I'm a more emphatic no after all of this stuff. And according to Adam Himmelsbach of The Globe, the initial offer, the initial request, demand from the Brooklyn Nets when the Celtics called and said, yeah, hey, Kevin Durant, what are you thinking? Well, what are we thinking for Kevin Durant? And they go, oh, yeah, no problem. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum would be a good start. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not allowed to swear on this podcast anymore. Yeah. That's that. But that would be where my first response would be. So that's just hilarious. I get it that Brooklyn's like, yeah, man, this is Kevin Durant, and you're just gonna ask for the world. But it feels like, okay, Tom, you say, hey, man, Tom, I like that hat. It's a one of a kind, man. I'd love to buy it from you. Yeah, sure, John. $5,000.
Yeah.
Like, Like, that tells me you're not serious about selling that hat. Like you are not going to sell it to me. You just are throwing out a thing that says, if John's stupid enough to pay $5,000 for this hat, then great. But I'm not really trying to sell this hat. So I don't think the Brooklyn Nets were really serious about trading, you know, KD in that package.
I thought it sounded pretty fair. I don't know. no, I agree with you. I think
today's episode brought to you by Absinthe.
Yeah. I think you're right that one of the big things that happened was that the Nets were not particularly interested in actually trading KD. And boy, is that a tough look for them right now. Because, like, I mean, if you kind of moved quickly on this, right, like you probably do. Look, Rudy Gobert drew this crazy amount of, like, draft picks and everything. I mean,
yeah,
he was talking about, like, if this is what you get for Rudy Gobert, what do you get for 4 years of Kevin Durant? And now it's kind of carried on for a while, and everybody's kind of soured on it a little bit, and everybody's like, eh, it's 4 years of Kevin Durant, but it's 4 years of 34-year-old Kevin Durant. Who knows what 38-year-old Kevin Durant is going to – who knows what 36-year-old Kevin Durant is going to look like? And it's just like, now we've got this second trade request, and we've got Durant has got teams that he wants to play for, and we'll get to that. I think that's pretty interesting. I have a couple of takes on that. But, I mean, like, if you're Brooklyn, like, it's hilarious that they offered, you know, that they said, okay, if you give us Jalen and Jason, that's funny. That's, you know, like, everybody can have their ha-ha moment as Sean Marks. Like, nice try, man. You're not going to undo 2013, all this stuff. But, like, you know, just, like, now where things stand and having this second leak where, you know, like, KD went in and was just like, no, I'm, like, you got to get rid of your entire front office, your coaching staff, all this stuff if you want me to stay. I mean, it could get really ugly. And I think there's a very good chance that the Nets are pretty motivated, you know, at least a lot more motivated by the time training camp comes around than they were when they were pretty unserious about trading him. So I'm very interested in where this goes, because, like, it's pretty clear that for the Nets, I mean, look, I mean, maybe they could try to go into the season with this, but, like, this guy just demanded that you fire the coach. So yeah, you're either going to fire the coach or you're going to have a really awkward situation on your hands. That doesn't benefit anybody either. I mean, it is a mess. And I mean, look, if you're somebody who believes that the Celtics shouldn't trade for Kevin Durant because look at the mess that he just made in Brooklyn. And, oh, by the way, he wants to play for the Celtics and he's already dictating, like, please don't trade Marcus Smart for me, which, like, good for him for recognizing that Smart is important. And obviously you want to play with a guy like Marcus Smart, but, like, he's already trying to dictate the terms of the team that he's not on. So
yeah.
I'm fascinated by it, man. I think it's, I'm a chaos merchant. I love it, but it is chaos in Brooklyn.
Yes, it is. Yeah, man. I think you made a great point there, and I don't think this is discussed enough in this Kevin Durant stuff. If the Nets had moved quickly, they could have gotten a pretty decent return. And once the Gobert thing happened, I think that threw everything out of whack. And this notion that, well, if that, then we should get this, is not really how things work. Like, just because someone was stupid and paid $5,000 for your hat doesn't mean that all hats cost $5,000. And, you know, like, that's just not how it goes. Somebody was just dumb and paid way too much for Gobert. But that's Minnesota's fault. And if Sean Marks is bringing that up, I'd just be like, look, Sean, I'm not Minnesota, man. You want all those picks? You should go talk to them. We're not dumb. Like, we and also you can at least argue that you're getting the prime of Rudy Gobert. Like, he's still young enough. We can say we understand we're trading for 2 years of Kevin Durant, and the other two are kind of, like, iffy, and we're just willing to take that. I don't see that as the bargaining chip. But the thing is that keeps Boston hanging around, because Boston's presumed package of Jalen, Derek White, and a pick, if that is even out, because they're in Himmelsbach's piece and all the local reporting, they all say that never really came about. The characterization of that as an offer that was rejected seems to be someone taking some liberties with the truth at that point, right? Like, I don't know, based on all of the reporting, I don't know that that was actually an offer, because outside of Shams, everyone else is like, yeah, like Wendy said, nah, that's kind of old. It's not really much there. Other people, maybe Woj kind of was like, people have down, Steve Wilpet downplayed it. Himmelsbach downplayed it. All these people on the Boston side are like, yeah, you know, and maybe that's just Brad Stevens has to do that. The front office has to do that. And they have to put out the message, be like, put it out there that it was never an offer. Get that other side out there. But I just, I still believe that this story came from Brooklyn side, and all exaggerations. I'll say it this way. Every exaggeration so far has benefited Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. Clearly it came from Brooklyn side.
Right.
Yeah.
So this continues to come from, there's some other stuff in there, but this continues to come from Brooklyn side and Kevin Durant side. They're the ones talking, and the Boston side's just being like, all right, let's pull a pin on this fire extinguisher and just start to put out some of these flames, because you kind of have to. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Don't go too far.
Don't lose it. I'm holding on to it.
You hold on to it. All right.
I got my pen. I'm writing it down.
Okay. You get to start the next segment with that thought.
All right.
Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. It's your team every day in the Locked On Podcast Network. So if you want to learn more about the Nets stuff, go to Locked On Nets, whatever team you want to find out more about. There's a team podcast. It's your team every day across the entire network. So check them out everywhere. You get podcasts. Tom Westerholm, I interrupted you before to take my mandatory break. So
yeah,
your response.
I agree with you largely on all that. Certainly on the fact that it was Brooklyn. Obviously it was Brooklyn. Like they're the ones who benefited from all this. I do think, so you'll notice, I mean, like, I think the answer that you get a lot of the times when you, you know, kind of try to run this stuff up with the, you know, with the Celtic side of things is kind of this, like, I would not say that that was how it was presented. I think it's pretty clear that there is a disagreement in whether that was an offer or not. However, I do think it's worth noting that in most of the reporting, maybe all of the reporting, I don't want to say that for sure, but there has not been like an outright Jaylen Brown is not available for Kevin Durant yet. Right. Like that. We have not gotten that. So that to me is kind of interesting, mostly because I wrote about this yesterday for Boston.com. I'm curious how much Kevin Durant wants to go to Boston, because right now what he's doing is he has said, reportedly, Ian Begley of SNY reported this, that his preferred destinations seem to be Boston and Philadelphia. And I think that's interesting for two reasons. One, I mean, look, of course, you know, Philadelphia's got stars, makes sense for sure, right? You want to go to the Celtics, an organic contender. Like, who doesn't want to play for an organic contender? That makes sense. But in doing that, he did take away, you know, he could like give the Celtics more leverage by saying trade me to the Celtics. And if he did that, he would put a lot more pressure on the Nets. He would make it a little bit easier on the Celtics to acquire him, to trade for him, because they could be like, look, we're the only team he wants to go to. So no, you can take this package, or you can leave it, and you can just have a disgruntled Kevin Durant, you know, going into the regular season. So I'm fascinated what this looks like going forward, because I mean, it's, you know, my son has arrived. but it, you know, I'm fascinated by how this looks going forward, because like Kevin Durant could put some pressure, if he really wants to go to the Celtics, he could put some pressure on that would really help them out. I don't think it happens without Jaylen Brown, almost no matter what. So that kind of comes down to whether the Celtics want to do that or not. But he could certainly, I mean, he's putting pressure on for them to be able to keep Marcus Smart if they trade for him. Like, he's already working on that. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, in that Ian Begley report, he reported last week, there's pessimism about a Durant trade being completed in the near future. And while Brooklyn has wanted Marcus Smart included in a package for any trade, Durant also would like to play with Boston's Marcus Smart if he's traded to the Celtics, per people familiar with the matter. So that, I mean, look, there's nowhere else to go. If you're going to trade with Boston, it's the available players are starting to dwindle. Meanwhile, in the last Shams report, which I addressed in the last podcast, Brooklyn has said, we are going to take drain or like every asset available in a trade. So if Durant is acting like he's at the trade deadline and he's on his way out, you know, as a free agent, when he's a guy who's in the first year of a 4-year deal, I don't know, man. I like what Josiah's been doing. I like what he's been doing. He's standing behind his team, and either Durant is going to have to report to camp and play, or he's going to have to do something very un-Durant-like, which is loaf or not report and just force their hand somehow. But if he doesn't report, they can just fine him. So is he just not going to get paid this year? Is he going to waste turning 34? Is he going to waste a year of his career? Like how long is this going to go? If I'm the Nets, I sit there saying, you know what? Come to camp. Forget it. You can't tell us to trade you to Boston and we're only getting Jaylen Brown in a pick. You know, we can't do that. We look like idiots. We look like idiots.
Do you think so?
You're supposed to be getting like the picks. This is the type of player that you get like a haul for or something. Maybe it's not Rudy Gobert because Minnesota was stupid, but Jaylen Brown is really, really good.
That's my thing.
Right. Like Jaylen Brown is really, really good. And I don't know. I feel like I'll put it this way. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and whatever Brooklyn has left, how good is that team? How good is that team? Is it really good? Is it middle of the pack good? Is it play-in tournament good? We don't know, but it's not, because at that point, Kyrie's probably gone. But yeah. Jalen and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I'm sure Jalen helps, so.
Yeah, right. So I don't know, man. I think Brooklyn's probably looking for something that's at least a little meatier. Even if you're not getting a player as good as Jalen, maybe like multiple players, because what are you going to do? Are you going to trade for Jaylen Brown and now you don't have a point guard and now you're still paying a lot of money? Like you're kind of stuck with an okay team, maybe a playoff team, but like unless you think Jaylen Brown's going to become a first team All-NBA guy.
Well, I think, all right, so the counterpoint to that is that Sean Marks is a pretty good GM. He's built teams with less before. So if you're Sean Marks and you're looking out there and you're like, okay, I have to get rid of Kevin Durant. Like, I got to make this move. This is bad. This is going to look bad. This is going to be bad, whatever. If you go to the Celtics and you say, all right, can we revisit Jalen and, you know, for Derek White for Durant? Can you give me another protected pick or something just so I can save a little bit of face? Maybe the Celtics still aren't interested because, as previously mentioned, Jaylen Brown is really good. But if you're Sean Marks, I just feel like building with Jaylen and Derek White, that's a heck of a lot easier than building with what Sean Marks has built with before in Brooklyn, right? Like, sure. You already got, like, a legitimate star. I mean, if you're going out looking for picks, what are the chances that you get a player as good as Jaylen Brown? Meanwhile, you tell Jaylen, hey, man, you are our foundational piece now. Like we're building around you. You're the star and we're going to construct a team and blah, blah, blah. You can have those conversations and, you know, see what happens. Like, I mean, I think very highly of Jaylen. I think, I don't know about foundational piece, but like as right. like the first star on your team, he's a wing. He's really good. Like he plays on both ends. That's You could do a lot worse. So
sure.
I hear what you're saying, but I do think that, like, if you're the Nets, I mean, wouldn't you rather just kind of like try to build something around a really good player than just go back into full rebuild again? Like, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I personally think you go full rebuild. I don't think you put together a team that will be, you know, good, but it depends on what your next moves are. But I really don't know how a Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons, you know, Derek White, Joe Harris, who else do they have now? Like, I don't like that's a bunch of like decent players. And I'm not a huge Ben Simmons guy, but he is still obviously very good in a certain role.
Yeah.
It's a weird team. Yeah. It's a weird team. And you still have Jaylen Brown. Now the risk is you have Jaylen Brown still hitting free agency in 2 years as Brooklyn. And now if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm like, okay, they traded me. Okay. This sucks. I'm on a team that's kind of like middling. I'm not sure. Like, yeah, I want to be the man, but maybe I just go explore free agency and see. So I don't think this is exactly going to go the way Brooklyn thinks it's going to go. And you do have the possibility of Jaylen being a flight risk and picking a much better situation for himself down the road. I don't know that that's exactly how Brooklyn wants it to go. I think Brooklyn probably wants a New Orleans package. It's a little bit better. You can pick up one of those Lakers picks or something like that. I just feel like at this point, just Sean Marks has, you're right, he's built, just start from the bottom, start over, don't make the mistake again like you did last time, and maybe you get Kenny Atkinson back and you say, I'm sorry. You know, because as I said on the Locked On NBA podcast, if I'm Steve Nash, I'm like, you know what? I don't need this crap. I don't need it. I don't want to be any ultimatum. I'm going to do you all a favor. I quit. Good luck. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to go talk to, you know, I'm going to go, you know, be part of Canada basketball. I'm going to go be a, you know, consultant somewhere. I'm going to have no stress and everybody can, you know, go middle fingers to the air. Everybody go, you know, bye, bye, bye. So, but I think like I love Jaylen in Boston. He's just such a perfect fit in Boston. And I think he can be, I think he, him sticking around in Boston just makes so much sense. Who knows what's going to happen in 2 years, but the more I see here, it Durant trying to dictate these things. I want Marcus Smart and Brooklyn saying, no, we want Marcus Smart. And like all of that stuff just makes me think this is all too convoluted. It's just, do you feel like it's closer to happening? Cause I keep thinking it's further from happening the more I hear about it.
No, so I don't think that. I think that the closer we get to training camp, the longer this gets drawn out, the more I'm interested in like what happens if KD says, trade me to the Celtics. Philly, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, yeah, that would have been nice. I'm friends with James Harden, all that stuff. Whatever. Trade me to the Celtics. I want to win a title. You know, then I'm curious what it looks like. Like, are the Celtics willing to throw? I mean, what if the Celtics can get away with not trading Jaylen and Tatum? Like, what if, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I'm fascinated to see how that goes. What if they just throw a trillion picks in, you know, 2035 when the world is all underwater anyway? Like, who cares? So, you know, I don't think that this is likely to happen. I want to make it very clear that my stance is that the Celtics are fine and they should probably go into next year as constructed. Jaylen Brown is great. You should keep a player like Jaylen Brown around for myriad reasons. Also, I did want to say, can you think of a player on the Celtics who would be a better fit for the city of Brooklyn than Jaylen Brown? I feel like Brooklyn quite a bit. But, you know, I'm curious to see what happens as training camp gets closer, as this stretches on, if the Nets get a little more desperate, if the Celtics are willing to try to take advantage of that, but like for me, don't know, man. I'm with you on like 95% of it and half playing devil's advocate because we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
If I were, you know, if I were in charge of the Celtics, I'd be telling the Nets, like, look, keep us in the loop. Like, it's Kevin Durant. We think he's great for obvious reasons, you know. But, like, our team is great. We have no reason to, like, rock the boat just to, for the sake of rocking it. We've got stars. We've got guys coming off the bench. We've got good players. We're ready to go into next year. So, to me, the Celtics are actually in, like, an unbelievable bargaining position because, like, the Nets just, like, keep losing leverage, like, the closer that training camp comes. The Celtics have all the leverage in the world of being able to say, like, no, we're good. Like, come at us if you want to really blow our minds, but, like, we're good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what happens.
So what do you think? Like, Al Horford, Grant Williams, and
I mean, that would be like if you're the Celtics, like, you know, wait a month. Why not pitch it? Right? Like, hey man, we'll give you the same number of picks, you know, way down the line, you know, like whatever. But like, or maybe you don't because, you know, Brad's been using those to acquire veterans. But regardless, I mean, yeah, like, you know, why not?
I mean, very obviously, if you get to keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and add Kevin Durant, that does change the calculus a little bit. So, that certainly is a much different discussion. Because then the 2 years of Kevin Durant, that's different.
I mean,
I'm a huge Al Horford guy, but I mean.
Well, and it is tough because, like, you are still in a position where Jaylen, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, like, it was a different situation, obviously, but we've seen it with Jaylen, Jason, and a star, like an established star, not work with Kyrie, right?
Yeah.
KD's different than Kyrie. But he's also Kyrie's good pal, and he's also a little chaotic himself. So, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, there's still reasons to wonder. There's still reasons to look a few years down the line and be like, if we give the Nets every single draft pick and, you know, and then, you know, I don't know, it combusts, Tatum walks, Jaylen walks, you know, KD's 37. Yeah, like, it could go really poorly. So I'm not even saying that's, like, a for sure go for it, but it is kind of interesting to wonder how the calculus might change if this – kind of extent.
That would be insane. I mean, it's chaotic, it's annoying, but I mean, it's still going on, and like turn of this drama continues to involve the Boston Celtics. And as much like my stated like objection has been, I think, very aggressively noted. If you didn't hear me in the last podcast, it's 30 minutes of me just, I mean, it's a solid rant. It's the whole thing is a solid kind of like I was feeling myself there. I was feeling hot the whole time. So
would you say it was a Durant?
Bye, Tom. Goodbye. All right, I'll bring you back to say
goodbye. Ah, dude, I thought we were walking off. I was like,
that would have been. I keep ripping off. You know what I keep doing? I keep ripping off the Smartless podcast because they always end up going bye at the end. So I've been listening to that extensively with no basketball podcasts out there except for my own. And as much as I like to hear myself talk, I'm not going to listen to my own podcast because I already know what I said. So I'm heading into.
Also, how Truanon ends its podcast for the record. So yeah.
Oh really? Bye. I'm getting into the comedy trio. Duo podcasts. I've gotten into Smartless, the Always Sunny podcast, because I'm a huge, just gigantic Always Sunny fan.
You are a big fan.
I'm a just like, you know, insane fan. And then I listen to what is it? Fly on the Wall, the David Spade, Dana Carvey SNL podcast. I'm an SNL guy. So yeah. All right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about my podcast listening. I'd have to check the rules.
Yeah, check
the rules and conditions.
I gotta check the rules on injecting politics into this. All right, now I am gonna say goodbye.
We'll talk
about this offline. Thanks everybody for listening. Friday edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as we go through August and September. We're already midway through August, so like it's going to fly by. We're going to be back to 5 days a week before you know it. Camp is coming up. Like this is, we're almost back. The off season is very, very short when your team goes to the finals. So I'll be back to 5 days a week before you know it. I want to thank everybody. Hey, by the way, this week, Monday's show was our 1,500th show. 1,500. Didn't realize that until I looked today. 1,500 shows this week. We hit that all time. And the numbers have been great. Right now, just on the audio side, we're almost at 2.1 million at this point. Throughout the course of through the same time period last year, we're at 1.2 million. So really almost an extra million listeners this year alone. So that is just a testament to how much people have been sharing the podcast. I really do appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you for helping me grow the podcast. You throw the YouTube in here, and the YouTube watches have really pushed this podcast to a new level. But yeah, I'm a little bit greedy. I want more. I want to get to the 3 million mark by the end of this summer. I want to get to big subscriber numbers on YouTube, because hey, I'm working hard over here for you, and hopefully you're enjoying this content. So thank you so much for subscribing wherever you get your podcast. It's free. It's never going to be a charge for this podcast. You can always get it for free. And watching it on YouTube, subscribe there, hit the bell, hit the thumbs up, all that stuff, comment, feed the algorithm. And as I said, share the podcast, tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.